Chucky's back, thanks to Luke Skywalker, and so is Freddy Krueger, sort of. On tonight's show, we discuss the brand new Child's Play trailer and everything it has to do with Mark Hamill. We will also talk about a new documentary series that is happening along with a cool TV online television series featuring our very favorite child killer, Freddy Krueger. That's all on tonight's show. Long live the schlocky 80s horror movie. I love it.
Woo-hoo! Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Welcome to the Scare Guy Show. We are the scarier side of the con guy. If you guys are familiar with our other show, we cover everything in the con universe. This is our show where we cover everything in the scarier side of the con universe. Horror conventions, horror movies, and everything horror. Tonight we're going to be talking one of our most favorite horror villains. He's kind of a villain, kind of not. Freddy Krueger. We all love him. Have him on the shirt tonight. And we have a very special guest with us tonight. She is an expert in the field of Freddy. She travels the horror circuit cosplaying as Nancy. But I'm going to let her introduce herself in just a second. But who do we have at the table this tonight?
Hi, everybody. It's Katie. And I am the girl of the scare guy. And I'm a cosplayer and just, like, love horror and just film and TV. And I just can't get enough
Katie
of it.
Katie is our resident final girl.
And hi, everyone. My name is Deandra Laser, and I am a Nancy Thompson cosplayer, as well as super involved in the community of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
And we are super excited to have you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. And for the second half of the show, we're going to talk everything Freddy Krueger.
Sounds great.
Hi, I'm Derek Sams. I'm a contributor to theconguy.com, a host of The Con Guy Show, and an occasional host here, and I'm slowly dipping my toes in horror and learning to appreciate it more, thanks to these people.
Pulling him in, yeah. Kicking and screaming. He's loving every second of it. Who do we have on the couch over here today? First of all, for somebody new this week.
Hello, my name's Taylor. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Taylor is a big fan of horror movies and all things horror. Right? Yep. Put it close to your mouth. And then also over here we have.
Welcome to Primetime!
Or you can introduce me.
That is Cheeseman on the couch. Yeah. Cheeseman on the couch is he's taking on the persona of Freddy Krueger, like we said. Our very favorite child killer. I hate saying
I'm
those words
back.
All in one sentence.
Okay, yeah, Cheeseman on the couch here with the scare guy.
I don't have another child killer that I like.
Right, but you said, like, he's kind of a villain and kind of not. I don't understand in what way he would not be a villain.
Deandra, would you like to correct him?
Well, I feel like he definitely is a villain. It's just everybody loves him.
We love Freddy Krueger. He's more fun than your average villain.
Okay.
He's a fan favorite in his own movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So this week on the Scare Guys show, we are going to spend the second half of our show talking about Freddy Krueger, talking about a cool documentary, Fredheads, that Deandra is involved with. She's going to let us know all about it. Plus, Tales from Elm Street, something else she is working on. And then we're going to have a lot of questions for her all about Freddy Krueger and why she has chosen Nancy as somebody that she is wear. By the way, really cool. This shirt, you got it from?
Heather Langenkamp.
She got it from Heather Langenkamp, who played Nancy, the original final girl in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm super stoked to talk with her about this night. But first up, we have some conventions and events coming up.
We do indeed.
Derek is going to walk us through this.
Yes. So, in the next few weeks, May 3rd through 5th, Texas Frightmare Weekend is in Dallas, Texas. And then that same weekend, Charlotte, North Carolina, is Days of the Dead, also May 3rd through 5th. And then, again, May 3rd through 5th, Crypticon Seattle, which has most of the cast of The X-Files, all pretty much everybody except Duchovny and Anderson. But
what? They're not there?
Not from the list that I was reading. I couldn't find them. I figured if they were going to be near the top. Mitch Pileggi. The Smoking Man.
Yes.
Much everybody else you could think of is going to be there. Then May 25th through 26th is Carolina Fear Fest in Raleigh, North Carolina. June 8th and 9th is Ghostbusters Fan Fest at the Sony Pictures backlot in Culver City, California.
Basically Hollywood. It's in Hollywood.
Right. So that's near us. Maybe some of us can make it.
I'm going to do everything I can to get there.
Yeah. And then August 3rd through 4th is Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California.
Right.
And also ongoing right now until June 16th is I Like Scary Movies, an art show in Los Angeles.
Oh. Katie, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's, I believe, Thursday through Sundays up until middle of June. And it's an art installation, I guess would be the actual what it's called. But they have a lot of, like, photo ops and interactive experiences from Nightmare on Elm Street, Lost Boys, The Shining. There's a lot. I don't even remember.
Mainly Warner Brothers films.
Yeah.
I think it's a Warner Brothers sponsored event. Yeah.
I believe it's $30. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the I Like Scary Movies Experience.com, it'll give you the information and a link to get tickets.
Yep.
So
do you happen to know if that's like a family friendly or if there's an aspect or is it one of those things where just like you should not bring your kids to?
I think it's pretty family friendly because it's mostly like photo ops and like experiences from what I saw. I only saw like the pictures from like the photo ops, so I haven't actually asked any of my friends about anything else about it who've been, but it looked like it was pretty family
friendly. It's not like a jump scare thing.
Yeah,
it's
not like a haunted house. There's not like, you know, it's not like a horror event. It's just like
celebration.
Like props and sets and stuff like that.
I'm going on Sunday.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell us, I'm sure you will Instagram a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what's the Instagram that people can follow so they can find out more information about this on Sunday?
At Sassy Sledgehammer.
At Sassy Sledgehammer. Nice. That's your Instagram, so that's pretty awesome. And we'll be talking to you in just a little bit. But you are going to Texas Frightmare, right?
Yes.
And have you been to that convention before?
Never, but it's a bucket list convention. I've heard the best things about it.
Yeah, I've heard it's like one of the biggest, most exciting horror conventions that you can make it to. Now, which conventions have you been to?
I've mostly gone to Days of the Dead and Horror Hound.
Nice.
Yeah.
Horror Hound's a big one up there in Indianapolis?
Indianapolis, yes. Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They do Columbus every so often. Mm-hmm. And
they do it out here last year. They did the 40th anniversary of Halloween out here in Pasadena.
October,
that was a good one.
All
right. So we have what we are calling the scariest 3 minutes of horror news. And by the way, we always do this. I always do this. We forgot to introduce our fantastic engineer in the booth, Steve.
Hey,
Steve. All right. So Steve is going to give us 3 minutes, and Katie here has taken the challenge. She is going to give us the most news she can from the world of horror in three minutes.
First time doing this, so let's see how this goes.
You can do it, Katie.
All right. And so Steve will let you know when you are ready to go.
Yep, all good. In 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so there's new horror film, The Curse of La Llorona.
La Llorona.
Thank you. scared up $26.5 million this past weekend to take the top spot at the box office. With a production budget of only $9 million, the film has taken in over $56 million worldwide.
So it's a hit.
It has only 32% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It won't
not
stay
so
a hit.
Great. what many people did not know is that the film is part of the extended Conjuring universe. With Tony Amendola,
yep,
reprising the role of Father Perez, a character he played in the film Annabelle. The doll itself even makes a cameo in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of The Conjuring, famed paranormal investigator Lorraine Warren passed away this past week at the age of 92. Mm-hmm. And her husband Ed were the she and her husband Ed were the inspiration for the characters played by Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson in the Conjuring films. The real-life doll on which the Annabelle story is based is still in the Warrens' occult museum in their home.
Can you imagine having an occult museum in your own home? It's craziness.
Nope. The couple became famous after investigating perhaps the most famous haunted house story in American history, the Amityville Horror case. The Conjuring 3 comes out in July 2020.
Next year, yeah.
Nostalgic Nebula and Horror Pulse / Flatline TV have launched an Indiegogo campaign to fund a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame for Robert Englund, the actor who has become synonymous with Elm Street's Freddy Krueger.
Yep.
Robert's nomination will be submitted to the Hollywood Walk of Fame committee by May 20th for the May 31st deadline, and committee selections will take place in late June. Search for Hollywood Star Project Robert Englund on Indiegogo, or go to the link on the website, thescareguy.com.
All right.
And finally, after a 2-year hiatus, the Mad Lyrical Geniuses over at Epic Rap Battles of History are back. For those unfamiliar with what we're talking about, Epic Rap Battles are hilarious YouTube videos from the duo of Nice Peter and Epic Lloyd that make figures from history, fictional or not, and pit them against each other in a war of words, insults, and disses. They kicked off the 6th season of their series with a battle that is sure to make the nerds of both horror and comics sit up and take notice. It's A Nightmare on Elm Street's Freddy Krueger against the X-Men's Wolverine.
Yeah. So Clawhands versus Clawhands.
Yeah. 30 seconds to spare.
So the two. What's interesting? Epic Lloyd. That's Lloyd Alquist. I'm really good friends with him, and he is the guy that came up with Epic Rack. Rap battles of history. Have you guys seen any of these things?
I've seen a little bit.
I think I did a while ago. It's been
have
a bit.
Have you seen them?
Yeah,
they're fun.
They are a lot of fun. I didn't realize they have taken off. Each one of their epic rap battles is like millions of viewers and stuff. And Lloyd, he was in this group called Mission Improbable. It's a touring improv group, and they have set up an improv house out here in Los Angeles over in Santa Monica. If you guys ever get a chance, it's the West Side Comedy Theater, Mission Improvable. It's fantastic. They are some of the best improv players I have ever met. And Katie, I hate to do this to you, but one more bit of news if you could give us. There was the past couple of weeks some announcements about Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, which feels super early to me. I don't know about you guys, but it seemed like they're kind of rolling these out really early because it's not even summer yet.
Well, we're almost halfway to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
True. However, a while back they announced Stranger Things Season 2.
Right.
As a maze for Universal Horror Nights in Hollywood. And then this week they announced that they're doing the Holidays from Hell or Holidays in Hell, which was a scare zone last year if you guys went last year. So yes. They're doing a maze version of that this year. They announced that this week.
Now, can you describe it a little bit? Holidays in Hell or Hell?
Will they have Krampus?
I believe they should, because normally, like, Krampus was in it last year. Last year they had, like, a creepy Easter bunny, a leprechaun.
Leprechauns are creepy anyways.
They had a, what other holidays did they have? They had Halloween, obviously.
Yeah.
They had Valentine's Day, which was weird. That's why they had Cupid. So it's all, like, these demonic, creepy versions of, like, the Easter bunny and all these normal, iconic holiday
I think, like Luke just said, we are almost to the halfway to Halloween point. And what's cool is that people actually have we have had a halfway to Halloween party.
Yeah.
People actually have halfway to Halloween parties, which is the 6-month countdown to Halloween. And I think it's in April, isn't it? It's either the end of April or beginning of May.
Well, you guys had it May the 4th.
It was the same May the 4th.
We would have it this year, but we're going to be at somebody on the show's wedding that's not here right now.
Yeah. Ben is not able to be with us tonight. That is very sad, but we are very close to Ben's wedding. Congratulations.
All right, if you can have a halfway to Halloween party, if you're going to have your halfway to Halloween party, I'm going to be playing Christmas music in July.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
Christmas party in July is fine. All right, so the first thing we're going to talk about tonight is Child's Play. Child's Play is a brand new, I don't know if it's a reboot of the 1980s classic series of films, Child's Play, which, who in here is a fan? Who can tell us? Okay, you can tell us. Tell us what was Child's Play about, just for people who may not be familiar with it.
Chucky, the doll who kills people.
Mm-hmm.
But he was possessed. He was a doll that was possessed by a killer, and which was played by Brad Dourif. Mm-hmm.
Worm Tongue.
And put himself into this good guy doll, who then is with Andy, the little boy, and he comes back and he just wreaks havoc, and then he does so for several movies.
Throwing people out of the window. He even got married.
Had a kid.
Bride of Chucky. Yeah. They had a kid?
Yes.
Seed of Chucky, was that right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Spawn of Chucky.
That one I did not know about. I did not know about that one.
I think there might have been two, Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky.
Seed of Chucky, and then they had Cult of Chucky.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I feel like there's an... Am I missing them?
There's a lot of them.
He got a lot of scars towards the end.
Curse of Chucky,
And then they try to simplify his look.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't there on Netflix, had a Cult of Chucky last year. So Chucky will not die. We have just received this past week... Well, actually, a couple of months ago, we got our first look at the new Chucky film, but the full trailer came out this past week. And we're not going to show it. We're just going to talk about it a little bit, though. But it featured the brand new look of Chucky Dale. If you saw our show tonight, you saw the face. He was the cover image of the show tonight. But also, what did you guys... Did everybody see the trailer?
On the way over.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, what do you think, Taylor?
I'd said to Derek that the one thing I'm wary of is if they do the adults don't believe and the kids have to save the day, which it seems like scary movies that have the bring the adults in do better overall. The story helps
What are you talking about?
I mean, it just did not go well.
Oh, you mean, okay.
Yeah.
So you think the trailer portrayed a world where adults are not believing or the adults are believing?
I think that.
Well, they believe when they're getting killed. That guy squealed.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I'm cautious, of course, but I'm still interested. Because this new take, this idea of it being not just a doll like a My Buddy, which I had growing up, which is probably good. I never saw these movies as a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That was a real thing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My buddy.
There was My Buddy and there was Kid's Sister.
My Buddy and Me. I remember that song.
Jim had five of them.
But what's interesting is now in this new version, if anybody who's seen the trailer knows, it's this doll is connected to all the smart devices too, and so like this possessed doll
he's
is able to control
Chucky.
Everything.
He's
like
not,
Maximum
yeah.
Overdrive,
yes,
mixed
that,
with
yeah.
Child's Play.
I don't think it. Somebody. I don't even know if he is possessed anymore.
I was wondering about that, or if it's just like
AI.
Some AI that's
artificial
taken over.
Intelligence,
it's like
so
Terminator now.
Which
yeah.
I'm not sure I'm on board with because it seems so
right.
Of the moment. Rather, the original, a possessed doll is always possessed doll. You know,
true.
It's for the ages.
And I have a feeling that any movie that deals with technology as a major factor in the plot never ages well. If you
right.
go back and watch The Net with Sandra Bullock or Cellular with Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. Like movies like that, you watch them now and you just kind of snicker a little bit, even though at the time it was really meaningful. Mm-hmm. You're just like,
so
oh.
The Net's no longer good.
Well, I mean, it might still be
a
good movie.
I saw it at the Dollar Theater back in the day.
Yeah.
So
well, but
you
watch it now and it becomes very dated. You know?
One of my very favorite X-Files episodes of the final season was the technology episode when they were getting attacked by the drones and all this. It was I guess it was one of my favorites.
The new final season, right?
Yeah.
The final season.
The renewed.
Yes.
But
the one that came out last year.
Yes.
But what's the big reveal? What's the big reveal of the voice of Chucky?
That's my favorite, most exciting
yeah.
part
yeah.
about it is Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
they announced at WonderCon.
So
yep.
Now I'm going for sure.
I mean, he's the Joker. He's my favorite Joker. And
mm-hmm. He's got the laugh.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are kind of ticked off because they think he's copying Brad Dourif, but it's one line, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like everybody's going to be ticked off about something.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you're too similar, they're going to be upset. If you're not close enough, they're going to be upset. You really can't please everyone.
Yeah.
But for me, I was very excited about the film, watch it, because I typically will go into movies a little more positive because
mm-hmm.
I don't think anything really comes, you know, if you start off on the wrong foot, you're most likely going to end off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
And there are some things that I just don't really care for in the trailer, and I'm
mm-hmm.
like, okay, move on with my life.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't see that now. But it looks really interesting. I like how it's shot. It reminds me a lot of the older 80s
mm-hmm.
movies, the slasher, at least from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's just a trailer, and I know it's a few seconds of his voice, but I'm still pretty optimistic about it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And it was produced by the people that did It, too, which kind of
mm-hmm. yeah.
adds a little hope to it as
the
well.
The new It.
The new
yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Chucky's like a character like Freddy with a big personality, so we're hoping Mark Hamill will bring that personality to his character, because that'll really... We got to have a Chucky with personality.
Bring his Joker persona.
Yeah.
I do like the scene in the trailer where the guy's being attacked by the lawnmower and he's got the lights around his neck,
mm-hmm.
the Christmas lights, and he's being sucked up into the lawnmower,
mm-hmm.
and you know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems like true Chucky movie right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did show somebody fall and smash into the top of a
mm-hmm.
car, which was from the original
yeah.
Child's Play
yeah.
back in the 80s. Yeah.
Which, bouncing off of what Taylor was saying earlier, it does get a little frustrating in some movies when you've got the kids who are aware of what's going on and the adults are so in denial they completely miss everything, and then by the time they're dying you don't even care about them because they were just missing everything that should have been so obvious. But that was one thing in the original Child's Play, which I only saw for the first time like 6 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I actually thought it was kind of cool that it didn't take forever. Like, it seemed like it was a reasonable enough amount of doubt coming from the mother and the detective, who, by the way, was played by Chris Sarandon, Prince Heffernick.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, but they did come around quickly enough. Like, it was by, like, the middle of the movie, I think, the mom was believing her son. And I really actually liked that about the movie. Like, okay, it didn't take forever for them to get on board. Now we can actually have the plot move along with them involved.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. So I'm hoping they can still keep that with this one. And if they've got Aubrey Plaza and her performance...
She's amazing. Yes.
Yeah, her performance in the trailer looks really good. Hopefully they used her well.
Anything with her in it. It's awesome.
What's that?
Anything with her in it is awesome.
I know. She is fantastic. Did you guys see her in Legion?
I've seen, yes. Well, I haven't finished watching it.
Very demented, but so great.
She's really good in that, though.
Yeah, she's
good.
The
movie?
Yeah.
No, Legion, the TV series.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the X-Men, a take on, it's Professor X's son.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he has, like, multiple personalities, like hundreds of multiple personalities, and each one of them has a superpower, which is a great concept, and they're all mixed up in his head, He's the most powerful mutant. They say that about every new mutant, don't they? But anyways.
The most powerful. The most powerful Captain Marvel.
The more most powerful than the last one.
But I'm excited about seeing Child's Play, and I wish I had... It comes out this summer, so I do not have the exact date on here. I'll look it up before
it's
we
June
end the
21st.
Show. June 21st, there you go. Katie June knows. Thank you.
Because it's the one of the, like, my birthday week movies.
Oh, that's right. Wow. Your birthday is right around there.
So that's the only reason I remember it. Because there's always solstice. Movies.
Yep.
I won't be seeing it, but...
I think it's the longest day of the year.
Yeah, so fortunately, you can go see a scary movie and still have plenty of daylight.
Yes, true.
You could go to sleep before the sun goes down and not have to worry about, you know...
All right.
Being kept awake.
We are going to talk now about another classic horror villain who we love from the 80s. You know, I just got to say this right up front. I miss the 80s villain so much. I miss 80s horror movies so much. And it makes me so happy that Child's Play is coming back and it feels like an 80s movie. All right. For our special guest today, it's Deandra Laser.
Deandra.
Deandra.
It's okay. I usually tell people to call me D.
Oh, that's so much easier. Dee, I love that. All right. So anyways, thank you for joining us tonight. You are a friend of Luke's. Luke has you guys have mutual friends, and so you are here in town, and you are going to the horror experience that Katie was just talking about. But tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience with Freddy, and some of the, you have a couple of projects that you are currently in the middle of as well.
Yeah, so back in... I didn't grow up a horror fan. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really allowed to watch any horror movies. I really didn't watch them. Occasionally, I'd see Freddy on TV. And I mean, it's like Heather says, New Nightmare, every kid knows who Freddy is. He's like Santa Claus. And so then I had a nightmare one day about him. And I just fell in love with Freddy. I woke up and I was like, huh, Freddy Krueger. And then, I know, it's the weirdest thing. And
did you take his hat or anything with you?
No, I did not. Okay. That was later.
Okay.
And then I just went and I started watching the movies. I started with Freddy's Dead. And so it holds a special place in my heart. And then I worked backwards and that's when I saw Nancy with her poofy brown hair, because I used to have really poofy brown hair, and The Girl Next Door. And since I watched Freddy's Dead, I knew it was taking place in Ohio despite the palm trees. And so I was a girl from Ohio, and I was like, man, this girl's so much like me, and I just really loved her, but everybody loved Freddy back then, and I'm thinking, you know, we're all the Nancy fans. And so the following Halloween, right after I became a fan, I decided to dress as her. My mom said, no one's going to know who you are. And I was like, I don't care. I do. So I made a collage of her and I printed it out and I brought it with me and I showed it to everybody. And then I just started to kind of take pictures with just the camera before we had like forward facing cam. And I just started to get more online and talk to more people. And I found more Nancy fans and we all got together and over the same mutual love of her. And then I started to go to more cons. I started to get involved with different projects. Now I do some stuff for Nightmare on Elm Street Films.com, which is basically the definitive Nightmare on Elm Street website. And I do a podcast called Elm Street Radio with my friend Paige, who is the director of the documentary Fred Heads, which is about the fandom of A Nightmare on Elm Street and its impact on people, not just the fans, but also on the stars and how the cultural phenomenon and everything like that, and about our group of friends and how we connected over it and how it's affected us differently and helped us cope with like bullying or feeling like an outsider or anything of that nature, as well as other people. And I'm also here filming the final installment of an online series called Krueger, Tales from Elm Street, which is basically has been a prequel to A Nightmare on Elm Street. And this one, this time, is inspired by another one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. We've pretty much given it away. It's about Freddy following the actor who plays Freddy in this series based on New Nightmare instead of following the Nancy character, even though I'll be in it doing Nancy-ish stuff, but he's following Freddy, or rather Roberto, who plays Freddy, is playing himself, and then Freddy's coming after him from playing him on these in this online series.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it was my first introduction to a Nightmare on Elm Street fan films, and fan films in general, was when the director, his name is Chris, he created something called The Nightmare Ends on Halloween, which was Freddy versus Michael, and then he created...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, he created the Krueger series, and I remember sitting in college and waiting for the next one to drop, and I connected with everyone online, and sure enough, they wanted to do this, and I was coming out here, and I got a chance to be, I'm getting a chance to be a part of it, and we filmed tomorrow my part. We started filming tonight, and it's just very, it's very exciting to be able to be a part of a community where you have family. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how old you are. You all bond over the same thing, and it just really, I mean, I feel safe coming out here, even though it's far from my home, because I have so many friends that I've gained over the years for my love and their love of A Nightmare on Elm Street. So it's pretty magical.
That's pretty, that's a pretty amazing story. So, oh yeah, and we have some pictures for those of you.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
We have some pictures of, I don't know how many we've gone through, but if you can tell us a little bit about what we're looking at.
So this is when you pulled Freddy out of the dream.
Yes, I did.
Right before you stepped.
Yes.
Right.
I'm sorry, Steve?
I said I only started putting them up.
Oh, fantastic. So this is the very first one.
So this gentleman here, his name is William Adams. He's a phenomenal Freddy. He goes to all kinds of cons, and he has the voice and the personality down pat. It's actually his birthday today.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, Bill. Okay. And I did a fan film called Don't Fall Asleep a couple years ago about Nancy between Nightmares 1 and 3, and he played our Freddy, and we had Heather voice Nancy from Beyond the Grave.
Okay, so everybody knows who you're talking about. You had Heather. You had Heather.
Heather Langenkamp.
Who actually played Nancy in parts 1, 3, and Nightmare. Was it 7?
Yep, 7.
Okay, which I just saw that one this past year, too, and that one...
That's my favorite one.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I like how meta it got. It was really cool. All right, and what is this? And
This was me just... when Fangoria was coming back, I did this photo page, did the lighting. She's a phenomenal photographer. When I went to visit her in Washington, D.C. last April, around the same time, and then later on that year, Fangoria returned, and this January, the second issue came out, and they had a segment in there on myself and my Nancy cosplay.
So you are featured in Fangoria magazine?
Yes, that's with Joe Bob Briggs on the cover.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And okay, and then we have, and this right here is really cool.
Yes, this is my, so I was inspired by a lot of Disney cosplayers. They mash up the princesses with just other well-known characters, and so I wanted to bring together Nancy Thompson and Ash Williams.
Nice.
So this is Nancy Williams, cool. And instead of a boomstick, I have the sledgehammer, and that's how I put this one together.
I think we have one or two more here.
This
is pretty cool. What is this?
That is a drawing of... I think his name is Psycho Slaughter Man. He did it of Nancy, and I loved it because of the detail that he put into it. Rarely did anybody really get the detail, because I'm when I do the cosplay of Nancy in part one, I'm pretty particular about getting her necklace right and getting the earrings right and getting the watch right, and he incorporated all of that, and I had the opportunity to own this print, and I'm wearing a Freddy and Nancy t-shirt that I bought at Horror Hound.
I was going to ask you about that, because I've seen that shirt before.
After Batman.
It's a really good one, and I think we have one more photo of you. Nope, that's it. So, right here.
Aww.
Oh, this is an important one right here. Yeah.
Heather. Yep, this is me and her in 2013. We were judging a costume panel together, and I'm dressed as her in New Nightmare. I adore her very much.
So you know Heather.
Mm-hmm.
How well do you know Heather?
Pretty well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's
when did you first meet her?
I met her in 2011 at Days of the Dead in Indianapolis. Actually, this was a Days of the Dead in Indianapolis 2 years after that. And I Am Nancy was just coming out, and I'd waited till her documentary about Nancy Thompson and kind of her.
Oh, I didn't know she had a documentary.
Oh, she has one. You should check it out. And
what's it called again?
I Am Nancy.
I Am Nancy. All
I Am
right.
Nancy. And I had waited to watch it because you could buy the DVD and watch it on your own. But I waited till the Midwest premiere, which was at Days of the Dead here, to see it on the big screen. And that's when I met her for the first time, and I was dressed as Nancy for the first time. It was a very tan Nancy because I was a lifeguard back then. But it was really awesome. And back then, nobody dressed as Nancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were starting to get a lot of the Nancy fans coming together as the internet got more and more popular. And I've seen them just grow over the years. And pretty much everybody that I've seen dressed as Nancy has always been like, I did it because of you. And that was like the number one thing I ever wanted in life was to get people to love Nancy and to dress as Nancy and to represent Nancy. And so it's really cool when I have people tell me that.
Why Nancy?
Because she felt like a stronger version of me back in the day. I mean, she was so different from... I mean, I didn't know a lot about horror. At the time, she was very much like myself. She was strong. She was resourceful. But she was just the girl next door. She wasn't a superhero. She was just somebody that you would know. But she had these strengths and she had this spunk and she would strategize about what she was going to do. And she went after Freddie and she didn't fall over and she was in your face and she wasn't afraid to get down and dirty and use her head and prepare. And it was so different and wild to me. And then when she went on to become the grad school superstar in part three and help people, she just was everything I ever wanted to be in a person. She was caring and she was a leader. But she was also, a force to be reckoned with. And she gave Freddie H-E double hockey sticks.
She gave him the business. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. She was quite a force. I was very fortunate. I saw, part three in movie theaters.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. A lot of people will say this. It's my favorite. I love, you know, welcome to prime time.
Yeah.
There's a store out here that just did Slashback Video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of the guys behind Blumhouse ran that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had one of the art installations was, what's the character's name who gets stuck in
Jennifer.
Jennifer. They had her hanging out of the TV with the arms and everything. It was really very cool. All right. We're going to go around the room and, you know, everybody, what is a question? Let's see if we can stump Deandra. D. All right. What is your question about the Freddy movies? Go.
Is the kid in Freddy 7, Heather, I can't say her last name, her own son?
No, it's not. Okay. That's Miko Hughes, and he played Gage Creed in the original, 89 adaptation of Pet Sematary.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes. Little blonde boy.
Okay.
All right. Cheeseman, do you have a question?
I don't have anything that'll stump her.
Okay.
But did you also, when you went to visit, look across the street and that's like, oh, that's where Johnny Depp's character's house was?
Yeah. I saw it today for the first time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, 1428. Tell about that moment. You were telling me about that outside.
We filmed it for Fredheads. I think a lot of the people in our kind of cast have their own, you know, first time seeing it within the last year or two. And I just bawled. And then I like would look away and then I'd look back and I'd bawl. And then we went to eat after that. And then I just thought about it and I bawled. And then I was looking at the pictures and I bawled. So basically it's a very emotional day for me because you see this house. So after Nancy's pajamas, the biggest thing to me is the house, and it's my dream to one day recreate the house, much like a gentleman in North Carolina did with the Myers house, and live in it.
Oh, did he really?
Have parties.
Oh, yes. I gotta go there. I didn't know that.
He's in the first return issue of Fangoria from last year.
Okay.
So,
by the way,
check him out.
If you are out here at Halloween time, Freddy, the silhouette of Freddy is up in the window where he killed Johnny Depp.
Oh, my.
It's so great. Yeah, the people really embrace it. Katie, what is your question?
I mean, I can't really think of a question. I thought I had one, and then I just fell out of my head.
Well, I have only ever seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
That's a travesty.
And so I would ask you, how should I go about watching the franchise. Should I watch all of them, or are there any I should skip?
You should watch all of them. Watch them in order, please.
Should I marathon them, try and do it in, like, one weekend?
Do an all-nighter in true Nightmare on Elm Street fashion. Have lots of coffee. Ooh.
Get a little delirious.
Where would the Goldbergs pull your coffee be pop? Mixed in there, though?
See, I would still watch it in chronological order, so it would have to be after Freddy versus Jason. Well, I mean, you could watch the remake. I do. I don't care what anybody says. I think you should still watch the remake. It's not a terrible film, and please don't shoot me for this. This is my personal opinion, people. But I think it's worth a watch. There were a lot of hands in the pot that made it an incomplete film, but a lot of people really like it, so it's personal preference. So you should definitely watch that. And if you want to save that for last and just watch all the Robert stuff first, watch the Goldbergs episode last and then go into the remake.
I have seen the Goldbergs episode.
Sweet.
So maybe it's not correct to say that I've only seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street, because that's another piece of it that I've seen.
Yeah.
My question is, if you had to pick the top three films of the franchise, what would they be?
They're all the Heather Langenkamp films. They're 1, 3, and 7.
Okay. That makes sense. And I would agree. I would agree on that. By the way, Freddy's Dead, is that number 6?
That's number 6.
Is that the one he had Roseanne and Tom Arnold in it?
Whoa. Yes, Rachel Talalay directed it. She got a lot of inspiration from David Lynch and Twin Peaks and from John Waters and Crybaby. And they really inspired her for that movie. She wanted to make it very different. She said, we've seen all the different films. We've seen all these characters. It's time to move on and do something fresh. So that's why it's quite different than everything before that.
Okay. Well, we are kind of coming towards the end of the show. Did you have something, Katie?
No. Well, I guess the only thing I was thinking of is, do you think, because I've been told the third one is, like, better than the second one. So you said the third is one of your favorite ones, and I haven't seen the third one yet.
Yeah.
Oh, the third one is monumentally good.
Okay.
But so I don't hear what you think. Yeah.
But no, I love the third one. But definitely watch the second one. It is, in my opinion, the most sinister version of Freddy. I think it goes well with the first one because they definitely stay in the same kind of tone, and they address a lot of what happens in the first movie in it. They just never talk about it again, ever again. And so that's why it's missed. Mark Patton, who plays the main guy in part 2, has a new documentary that's out and making the film circuit called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street. And it is raw and it's amazing. And I recommend that everybody see it.
Cool.
Nice. And what about I just pulled a Katie. I had the question
I have a question.
Okay.
Did you ever get to meet Wes Craven, or what do you think about Wes Craven?
Wes. My fellow Ohioan, Northeast Ohioan, just like me. I never got the chance to, but I shared a photo when he was alive of myself as Heather in New Nightmare, that photo, that costume. And he liked it, and then he also followed the stuff we do online with the Nightmare on Elm Street Films.com, so he knew about all of that, and I just wish I could have had the opportunity to meet him and tell him how much his character of Nancy changed my life.
Oh, that's so great. I do have a question. The very first Night Elm Street,
yes,
Freddy seemed a lot more sinister to me, and he did develop into a very lovable character towards the end, a lovable killer. Can you talk? I mean, what is your feeling about that? What is your favorite version of Freddy?
My favorite version of Freddy, I would say, is part 3, because his humor has not gone too far. It started to introduce, I mean, it's introduced itself in the very beginning, but there's the right mix, and he does it in a very sinister way, in a very intentional way. He doesn't just say funny lines for the sake of funny lines. He does it to really torment everybody, and the things that he says and does are all in his personal pleasure. But he's also very dark in the movie at the same time. Like I said, part 2 is the most sinister version of Freddy. But I really love part 4, so I have a soft spot for part 4. But I think part 3 is the right.
Which one is Freddy. Dream Child?
That is part 5.
What's 4?
Dream Master.
With
Alice.
I still think my favorite vision of Freddy is still part 1, the long arms across the alleyway. There's nothing more nightmarish than that. It's so... Because he was kind of short, but his arms were so long, and we do have to wrap up, but we saw Robert Englund out at a Comic-Con.
The Palm Springs
Comic-Con.
Like, it was the part 1 of that, and we got to see him on the panel and stuff. And they told stories about how they tried to replace him at one point.
Part two.
But his personality, like, was such a big part of it. Like, then they're like, just give Robert what he wants, because there's only, like, one person right now that can play him.
And they, he was talking about how his distinctive stance, how he was kind of like, he leaned down because the glove was so heavy. So, Dee, if you could let us know the projects that you are involved with, how can people see them? How will they be able to see them?
Well, Fred Heads is currently still filming, but you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Fred Heads Doc, hashtag Fred Heads Doc. So if you have anything that's a Nightmare on Elm Street, please hashtag Fred Heads Doc or tag us, and we would be more than happy to share it, and maybe it might be featured in the documentary. You never know. We're filming at Texas Frightmare for that, too, and we have a couple of other occasions. But, you know, great things take time, and big stories that encompass a lot of people take time, and so... we're hoping to wrap that up this year. I think we're going to get everything that we need to make it an enjoyable experience for everybody. Kruger Tales from Elm Street will be on YouTube. I'm on Instagram, as I said earlier, at Sassy Sledgehammer. Oh, man.
So if they were to, if they follow you, they will get plugged into where to see this stuff. Because I know mm-hmm. we have to wrap up, but like you were talking about these other documentaries that some of the people that were involved in. Like, if you could, like, maybe suggest a couple of those that people that people should see.
Never Sleep Again, the definitive A Nightmare on Elm Street documentary. I Am Nancy, Scream Queen, is out and about now, like I said, making the circuit. And I also recommend Never Sleep Again, the making of the first A Nightmare on Elm Street, which is a spinoff of the documentary. It's a book. Mm-hmm. And if you think you know A Nightmare on Elm Street, you're wrong, because this book, I learned a lot, and there are a lot of rumors that are kind of no longer rumors. It's got the truth in it. Great
facts. I watched Never Sleep Again. It was on Netflix. I think it was a multi-part series because it was long.
Yeah, four hours.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
And I do hope you guys will follow her on Instagram. She will keep you up to speed on everything happening. We didn't get a chance to ask her, but you can just say yes or no. Are there any rumors of anything in the future?
No.
Freddy-wise. All right. It's not yet.
Fingers crossed. But right now, there's nothing.
All right. We can always hope. We can always dream. And then Freddy will get you.
When Disney buys them.
No, it's not going to happen.
Freddy's going to be the next Disney princess.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight here on The Scare Guy. You can find me at Con Guy Jim, or you can also find me at Jim Fry LA on Twitter. And James D. Fry on Instagram. Where can we find everybody else?
I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at KT_Christine or on Instagram at Katie's Fairy Tale.
Oh, hi, I'm Derek Sams. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyDerek or in your nightmares.
I'm Taylor Shore. You can find me at The Shore Thing on Instagram. S-C-H-O-R Thing.
All right.
And I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on Twitter at CheeseOnCouch or on thescareguy.com.
You can also find us at the horror conventions. We do cover a lot of them here in Southern California. And which conventions are you going to be at next?
Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Texas Frightmare Weekend. So if you see her there, make sure you say to her that you saw her here. And
that's May 3rd through 5th in Dallas, Texas.
Don't miss it.
Will you be cosplaying Nancy at all?
No, I will not be, but we will be in Fred Heads gear, and we will be filming for Fred Heads.
All right. Yeah. Guys, check her out. Follow her on Instagram. Follow us here on Instagram. And thank you so much for watching us tonight. Share us with all your friends and say, you've got to watch this show. You've got to listen. Download and listen anytime. Thank you guys so much for being with us tonight. We will see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.